This evening, just for a little while, I'm not going to preach an expository sermon as such this evening, but I do want to bring a challenge about an aspect of the gospel, and if you like to look at the picture of the gospel in a very broad way, and to see some different aspects of the gospel and how, in turn, it shapes us as individuals and within the church of Jesus Christ. You know, that little song that we have just sang there together, I, the Lord of sea and sky, and the chorus each time, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. And you know, the Lord is calling people today. The Lord is calling people like young Samuel of old into service. It may be service that leads them to far-off lands. It may be service that leads them across the street to witness within a family or to friends and mates and colleagues. But we are called. And what are we called to share? Well, we're called to share the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, you know what the gospel is. But this evening, I simply want us to look at the gospel. And what I share with you this evening, thoroughly rooted, of course, in the Word of God, you may or may not have thought about it this way before. But it basically reminds us that the gospel touches and changes everything. The gospel touches and changes everything. Sometimes we have made the gospel into something just between God and me, and it really doesn't touch anything else. Of course, it's between God and me, but it must touch so many other things. Let me begin by just reading this out here. A summary of the gospel. The Son of God emptied himself and came into the world in Jesus Christ, becoming a servant. He died on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. He rose from the grave as the first fruits of a renewed world. And what I'm going to do this evening, as I say, it's not an expository sermon as such, but it is picking up on some principles from the Bible. I'm simply going to pick up on each of those three principles and show how that aspect of the gospel affects our understanding of what it means to live as a Christian and to work within the Church of Jesus Christ. Each of those things, each of those three truths, highlight an important part of the gospel. And here's the first one. As I say, you may or may not have thought about this. The incarnation. God became man. The gospel is upside down. Now, you might wonder, where's he going with this? But you'll see it in a moment. The King, King Jesus, became a servant. And we deliberately read from that passage in Luke chapter 6, where it teaches, and Jesus teaches, that in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the poor are rich, the hungry are satisfied, those who weep end up laughing, the persecuted are blessed, the last are first. You see, think about Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor. Though he was a great king, he became a servant. He won by losing everything. The gospel turns things upside down. The gospel takes things and turns them on their head. Let me put it another way. Our world values things like power and status and recognition and wealth. The gospel turns all of these things upside down. The gospel says those who are really in the kingdom are not those who are powerful, are not those whom the world recognizes as great and wonderful and important people, are not necessarily the rich and the famous. In the kingdom, things are turned upside down. How does this affect the church? How does this shape the church? Well, it means that the church of Jesus Christ, in this sense, ought to be an upside down kind of group of people. It ought to be different from the world. It ought to have values that are so different from the world. The world rejects certain people and says, you're not important. The church welcomes those people. The church says, you're very important because you're a very important person. The church doesn't look on people like that. Do you see what this model does? Do you see how the Lord Jesus and how he turned everything on its head is a model for us within the church of Jesus Christ? Let me give you another angle on this. The heart of the gospel is, of course, the atonement. The fact that Jesus came and he died on the cross to save us from our sins. The fact that he gave everything to save us and to make us right. Let me put it this way. Think about it this way. So much religion is outside in. The gospel is inside out. Let me explain that. Let me put it this way. So many people, and there are people tonight in Mourne, this community of Mourne, who think this. So many people think that religion, that Christianity, is basically a matter of, I'll try and obey God, and then he'll accept me. Whereas the gospel says, you are accepted in Jesus, therefore go out and live for Jesus and obey him. Do you see the difference? The gospel says, by free grace, you are accepted through faith in Jesus Christ. You are loved. You are accepted. Now go and live for Jesus. Religion, as I said, is something that focuses all on the outside. You dress the right way, you do the right things, you do certain things. And that's sadly what some people only see. That's religion. But gospel, grace, is about what's going on inside. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And what does this mean for the church? You see, the church as the community of Jesus is to be different. It's to reflect this principle. It's to be a grace-centered community. It's to be a community where the message gets out, it's not what we do, it's what has been done that really counts. It's not so much about what we look like on the outside, but it's what we're like on the inside that really, really matters. Folks, can you see that? Can you see what the gospel of grace does? The gospel is inside out. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So many people still think Christianity is about what we do, when Christianity is ultimately about done, it's finished. Just accept it and go out and live it. And this is the wonder of grace. And the wonder of the message of Jesus. I wonder, do you see that this evening? I wonder, do you see that if you are a Christian, you are to follow that previous principle in the same way that Jesus, who was so great and mighty, became a servant. If you're a Christian, then you and I are called to be servants, not to be pushing and jostling to be first, to be seen, but to be a servant. To have these values that we read from Luke chapter 6 and other places that are so different. And let me tell you, if you do live according to those principles, don't expect everyone to come up and say, that's great. It will begin to rankle. The world does not like the upside down principles of Jesus. And then there's the principle here of the inside out. In a world, and even amongst many who still tend to focus on the outside, let's be a community. Let's be churches that say, look, the outside, that's not the main thing. It's really what's in your heart that counts. Let me ask you tonight, how's your heart? Let me ask you tonight, what are you really like on the inside? Are you right with God? Have you allowed God, the Spirit, to come and to touch your heart? To change you, to save you. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. Please, and I'm sure there's nobody sitting here thinking this, but just in case, please do not be thinking, well, I'll try my best, I'll do this, I'll go out to church on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, and all of these things, and still think, well, maybe that will get me through. It will not get you through. Your heart needs to be touched. Your heart needs to be changed. And that's what the gospel essentially does. We've used the picture before, haven't we? The gospel is not so much pictured like a Christmas tree, which we come and we put all the things on. That's religion. The gospel is like the apple tree. Where do the apples come from? Nobody puts them on. They come from the inside. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel does. And yet how many people are there in our community whose understanding of the gospel is still a bit like a Christmas tree, I put this on, I do this, I do that, and I look nice. Whereas God calls us to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves, to repent, and to allow Him to work in our hearts that He might produce the fruit. But here's the third and final thing. The resurrection. The gospel is already, not yet. What does that mean? Well, let me put it very simply. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We are not. The kingdom of God has already come, but not fully. We have been saved, if we're Christians, from the penalty of sin. But we're not yet saved from the presence of sin. That is why you struggle as a Christian. That is why I struggle, like you struggle, with temptation all the time. Because we live in a region, in a realm, if you like, they already, not yet. The kingdom has come, but not fully. We have been saved. One day we will be ultimately saved when we are taken from this world and taken into the new heavens and the new earth. At the second coming of Jesus, He will complete what He began at the first coming. We live in an already not yet kingdom. Jesus has lived, He died, and He rose again, and He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. As Christians, we live in the already, but also in light of the not yet. Now, can you see that? Let me earth that. What that means is that as a community of believers, we will be taken up with evangelism and witness. We will want to go out and tell people the good news of Jesus. That He has died and been raised to new life. But there's a day coming when the kingdom will fully come, and it will be too late after that to say, oh, I want to believe in Jesus. It will be too late. Now is the day. Now is the time. And we believe in evangelism and witness, and we go out into the world to preach and to proclaim the gospel. But we also are interested in getting alongside the poor and the needy. Why? Because it's a Christian thing to do. Why do we go to Uganda or whatever nation it is to help those who are seeking to work amongst these people who are not as well off as ourselves? Why do we do that? Why do we take an interest in that rather than saying, well, I couldn't be bothered with those people? Because it's a Christian thing to do. The Lord Jesus taught us to take an interest in those who are poor and needy, to those who are maybe in situations where they do not have all that we have, and so we can go and serve in the name of Jesus. And as I've already said, it's not just a case of giving. Of course, it's a case of receiving so much as well. So in the church, we are interested in evangelism and witness, but we also work to help the poor, to work for justice. Why? Because we know that this is God's will, and that he will ultimately overcome all oppression and injustice. Why should you as a young Christian be interested in situations where there is injustice? Is it a Christian thing to be interested in those things? Of course it is. Because our Lord is grieved by all injustice. And so we should be grieved by it as well. Sometimes, as evangelical Christians, we have driven this wedge in between things like evangelism and working for the poor. We don't need to do that. It's not either or. It's both and. Because in evangelizing and in working for the poor and in working for injustice and against injustice and for justice, we are working for the day when all of these things will be over. Do you see that? We live in the already, but not yet. And so we seek to integrate our faith and our work. We seek to be salt and light and make a difference in an unbelieving world. We seek the welfare of our cities, our towns, and our villages because this is what God would have us do. So when you put all of these things together, what do you have? You have an upside-down church, where the world's way of thinking is turned on its head. The gospel community is made up of all those who are called to be servants, following the radical values of Jesus. An upside-down church. And again, can I emphasize, where you get an upside-down church, you will get the world saying, I don't like that. But you will also get people in that world who will say, I'm drawn to that. I am drawn to that. But also we're called to be an inside-out church, where religion's way of thinking is turned inside out. We do not believe that the basic principle of the gospel is, I obey, therefore maybe God will accept me. We do believe that the basic principle of the gospel is, I am accepted by free grace through faith in Jesus, therefore I obey. And the gospel community is made up of those who have experienced personal inward conversion and are seeking to walk in the Spirit, and to see others personally won to new life in Jesus. It's the inside-out community where the big, big emphasis is in what's in here, not what's on the outside. And the third thing, sorry, I couldn't get a nice picture for that one. An already not yet church, where the kingdom that has come but hasn't fully come is recognized. The gospel community does not keep itself to itself. It goes out into all the world. It seeks to make a real difference in its community and in its world, in its divided, fractured cultures and societies. Why? Because one day our King is coming and he will restore all things, and we are simply called to work in light of that day. If you like, to be little signposts pointing, there's a day coming. There's a day coming when all of this trouble will be over. You see, folks, whenever the world looks at the church, it should see something of this. And I know that we're very imperfect people, and at times we make a bit of a mess of things. But I ask you this evening, if you're a Christian, to pray that whether it's this church you belong to or some of the other churches in the town, to pray that these principles, which I hope you can see are thoroughly biblical principles, that they will be seen not only in our lives but in our churches. Because it seems to me that when the world sees something that's different, yes, there will be those who will oppose, those who will persecute, those who will stand against, but there will be those who will be drawn to see this is real. There's something different here. An upside down community following the steps of the King who became a servant. An inside out community that focuses not on what's on the outside, but on what's going on in our hearts. And an already, not yet community that has a passion, not just to sit within its four walls, but to go out and to work for evangelism and witness and against injustice and working for the poor. And all of these things flow from the gospel. One day, our King is coming, maybe sooner than some realize. The King is coming, and he will make all things new. And we are simply called in the meantime to be pointers to our King, who's in the business of turning things upside down, inside out, and who's in the business of building his kingdom, and one day, ultimately, he will build it at the end of time. So, folks, as I finish, maybe you're here this evening, and if truth be told, maybe you've never thought about it like that before. Maybe you haven't seen the big picture of what God is doing. Maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been worried about what your mate will say, what your partner will think. Well, I hope that as you see the big picture tonight, that some of those things that keep us back will be put into perspective. God is at work in Uganda, in our little province, so many different places. Don't allow a friend, a neighbor, someone else to put you off. Don't be kept out of the kingdom because of the fear of man. But come, even this evening, tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Repent and believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for a moment of quietness and prayer.